Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. If you've ever struggled to get your kids to eat their fruits and vegetables, or maybe you're the one with the problem, you're not alone. Convincing your children to make healthy food choices is not easy, especially with constant messaging about fast foods, snacks, and sodas. Luckily, there's a nonprofit here in Sacramento dedicated to getting kids excited about healthy food choices. The Food Literacy Center just celebrated 13 years of bringing fun food activities to area classrooms. And even though it's summer, you can find them and some of those activities every Saturday at the Oak Park Farmers Market. CAP Radio's Jen Picard recently spoke with Food Literacy Center founder and CEO Amber Stott about their mission.
Amber, welcome back to Insight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you started the Food Literacy Center in 2011. I think you're coming up on actually your 13th anniversary next month. What was the need that you saw here in Sacramento, and how did you try to fill it?
Yeah, so at the time, the childhood obesity crisis had just started to become known. And also at the time, all these books were coming out, like Omnivore's Dilemma and Harvest for Hope by Jane Goodall. So there was an awareness along with this rising need. And myself personally, I have always really been interested in food and the intersection it has with so many of the things that I care about. And after talking to places like the food bank, I realized that we could fill a pretty important gap by inspiring kids to eat their vegetables because, for example, at the food bank, they were trying to switch over from having too many packaged foods or unhealthy food products, but people are so used to them, they become so established that reverting back to the healthy stuff has been a challenge. And so that's where Food Literacy Center comes in. So we go into Title I or low-income elementary schools where kids, a large majority of them, are hungry. And we inspire them to eat their vegetables by teaching them to cook hands-on and with little nutrition activities.
Okay, so you teach them hands-on. So what is the value in getting kids involved in that, like, hands-on experience of touching the vegetables and making their own recipes? Like, what impact does that have for them?
Yeah, so studies actually show that if we want kids to change behavior, like eating their vegetables, we need them to be involved hands-on. And it's really remarkable what we see in our program. We're giving kids all kinds of weird stuff. We'll bring in cactus or beets or bok choy. You know, we're trying to introduce them to things that maybe their friend in their class has seen, but maybe they've never seen before. And it's amazing to watch these kids go from, ew, gross, I don't like vegetables, to, oh my gosh, my favorite thing is trying new fruits and vegetables at food literacy class. So it's quite transformative, actually.
And do you think they bring that attitude home, too?
Yes.
And get their parents excited about some of these things?
They do. And the reason we know this is actually a bright spot from the pandemic. So when we were unable to cook hands-on with our kids during the pandemic, we sent home the recipes that we used to make with our kids in person. We sent them home as kits so that they could replicate those recipes with their families. And then when schools reopened and we stopped the distributions because we were back to our in-person cooking, the parents and grandparents showed up at schools saying to the principals, when will those food literacy kits come back? We loved those tacos. We loved that spaghetti. So we actually have continued that program because we realized, oh, we've gotten inside our kids' homes and we've gotten the families excited about these healthy recipes. So, so we know from that that strange time in history, that bright spot is that our program is working.
Well, that's really good to hear. And I was going to ask, you know, you've been operating for over a decade now in Sacramento. How have things changed here? I think we've talked about food deserts in the region in certain areas. Like, what have you seen that's changed in the time that you've been operating and bringing food literacy into these low-income schools?
Oh my gosh, so much. I think the most exciting thing that has changed in our community is awareness. I do think folks are aware of the problems and aware of the solutions like food literacy. And the way that we have seen that materialize for us as a nonprofit is just before the pandemic, the school district agreed to build us a 4,500 square foot cooking school, which we got the keys to in October of 2021. So we actually just this week are finishing our second school year in that building. So it's a gorgeous cooking school. And as a school district, they committed to creating this space for us because they see the importance of aligning health outcomes with academic outcomes, because when kids are healthier, they perform better in school. And it's just better all around if we think about our kids through a health lens. So that to me is the most sort of physical transformation that we have seen.
So that the cooking school, is that the farm? Is that what you refer to as the farm?
Yeah. So we have a 1-acre farm as well as a cooking school and our headquarters there. It's amazing.
Oh, so tell us a little bit more about it. For people who haven't been there or who haven't gotten, you know, don't have kids who get to utilize it, what is the farm?
Yeah. So essentially, we have this 4,500 square foot cooking school. It's got a cooking classroom, a commercial kitchen. It's got our staff offices. And then behind it, we have 1 acre, which serves both as a student garden and also as a city park. There's an easement with the city of Sacramento. So it has this dual role. But you can't access it unless you come to one of our events and come through our cooking school. So because it's blocked off because of protecting the kids during the school day. So we try to have little events and functions to get people to come out and experience the farm and take advantage of it, because it's super fun. It's really beautiful. I mean, it's just in this little tiny corner behind public housing next to the mill at Broadway, right next to the freeway. And there's this amazing oasis that is our 1 acre. So
how do you fund this effort that you do, you know, year round?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a hustle. So yes, events are really critical. We also are, I think we write about 4 grants a week because they definitely don't all get funded. And then, you know, just sort of like you all, we have our mail outreach and phone calls and stuff like that. So we are always trying to raise funds because our program is free. And for example, the programs that we run at our new site, none of them are funded by the school district. We get free rent in exchange for these free programs. So that's, you know, that's all year long, us providing free programs. So we really are relying on the community to support that.
If you're just joining me, I'm talking with Amber Stott, founder and CEO of the Food Literacy Center here in Sacramento. Amber, you just mentioned a bunch of programs that you run at the farm, but you also have a lot of different programs throughout the city. How did the Food Literacy Center get involved in the Oak Park Farmers Market?
Yeah, so the Oak Park Farmers Market and Food Literacy Center go way back. So my first school when I started the nonprofit was in Oak Park. And Joni Titherington, the founder of the Oak Park Farmers Market, and I met, and we have been doing programs together forever. We'll do cooking demonstrations out there over the years and other programs. And a couple of years ago, the nonprofit that was running the Oak Park Farmers Market decided to take a more regional approach, and they cut some of their local programs, including the market. And the market, if folks aren't familiar with the history of it, it was designed because Oak Park is considered by USDA as a food desert. And that essentially means that folks don't have access to the typical grocery store where you can get your typical produce items. So combine this with the fact that Oak Park also has a very high incidence of low income, right? So high poverty, not a lot of access to healthy food. This results in diet-related disease. So at the time, over a decade ago, around the same time I was forming Food Literacy Center, the community said, we want a farmer's market. We want access to this fresh, healthy stuff. We want to eat better, and we want it to be easier. So Joni created the market, and as you can imagine, when the market got taken away, there was an uproar in the community. So thankfully, many local electeds sort of pooled together resources to try to bring the market back. But because it's not its own nonprofit or its own entity, it was just a program of a nonprofit, they needed to find another nonprofit that was interested in taking the market on. So when Joni came to me, it was really a no-brainer that we would take this on because it's just such a good fit. Like, if we want kids to eat their vegetables, we also want to make sure they have access to those vegetables. So yeah, so in 2023, last summer, we brought on the Oak Park Farmers Market as a program of Food Literacy Center. So this is our second market season.
Awesome. And it happens every Saturday, 9 to 1 p.m., I think, at McClatchy Park, right?
Yes.
In Oak Park. And do you see a lot of families bringing their kids to the market and kids participating in the selection of the fruits and vegetables that they're going to eat there?
Absolutely. And we are proactive about ensuring that that happens. So two cool things happen at the Oak Park Farmers Market. One is that we match EBT or food stamps, and we have actually the highest match in the region. So we match up to $20. So if somebody's spending $20 of food stamps, we give them an additional $20 to spend with our small farmers so that they can really increase the amount that they're taking home. The second thing that we do is we have a kids play program. So we actually have little programs and exercises and activities that we do with the kids. And when they complete those, like maybe they do a little lesson where they learn about fats in foods and how they work in our body. Maybe they do a little matching game where they circle the leafy vegetables or something. Then they receive $5 of carrot cash, which are essentially coupons to shop for fruits and vegetables at the market.
Oh, so, how fun.
Yeah. So this is a win-win because largely our market consists of small farmers and small businesses. So when we give the customers a little bit more to spend, they can stretch their dollars and support our businesses more.
There's also an aspect of what you do. There's a bunch of recipes on your website, right? So you can, if there's like a new vegetable or something that you're not familiar with, you might be more willing to try it if you have a cool recipe that you know of how to make it. Why did you guys start doing that? And what's been the vegetable locally where you thought no kid will ever get into this and they love it?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Okay. So how we started doing it goes back to the early days. We've always used local produce in our program. And we do this thing in our classes called Produce of the Day, where we introduce kids to a new fruit or vegetable, trying to get them out of their comfort zone to be more curious and to become more food adventurous. And so we have always worked with local small farmers to do that. So then a few years ago, Joni and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool to, and I think during the pandemic is what really spurred it. We were already doing virtual cooking classes for the pandemic. And then we started using produce from the Oak Park Farmers Market and doing these weekly demos. So a lot of what we have on our website, we were actually already partnering with the market. So that's been seamless. And then vegetables that kids surprise us when they eat them. What's really interesting to me is one of like our tipping point vegetables, if you will. So what, like we'll have kids who will be in the program, I don't know, 3-4 weeks where they're kind of unwilling to taste something. And one of the vegetables that is like, oh, now I'm willing is the watermelon radish, which is fascinating. And I think it's because it's so pretty.
It is so pretty.
And it's also...
but it does not taste the way it looks.
Well, can you imagine kids and radishes?
No.
But they get so excited for them. And they actually do really like them.
That's awesome.
So it's really, that one has been really fascinating to me. Another one that goes the opposite way that I always have found fascinating is their kids remain afraid of dates.
Oh.
They're so delicious. And you cannot convince them that they're amazing because of the shriveled up look of them. Right? I'm like, this is the
but
sweetest.
But they eat raisins.
Yeah. I'm like, this is the sweetest thing we'll give you today. And there's always several kids who are like, I'm not touching that. So it's really funny. Radishes are a win.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Amber.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And eat your vegetables.
That was Amber Stott, founder and CEO of the Food Literacy Center, speaking with Insight's Jen Picard. That's Insight for today. I'm Chris Nichols, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.